The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Everybody wants to get back to normal. Many of the people who don't want to get vaccinated want to get back to normal, as we all do. Well, we can get back to normal much more quickly if you get more and more people vaccinated.
Says the man whose team unleashed the virus onto the world. There he is, still getting out there to support the vaccine. And of course, he's doing this even as he's being fully exposed as a complete and total fraud. The Fauci virus providing all of that gain of function support, funding even to the Wuhan lab, and then trying to cover it up. And now it's being exposed. We'll get into the Vanity Fair article from yesterday, nearly 12,000 words. It's a shame, isn't it, that it comes from Vanity Fair and that it's this far along. Where was that story about 12, 14 months ago? We'll come to that. We'll have much more to say about the vaccine as well. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate Richard Palmer subbing in for me yesterday on the show. You can get to that program and all of the podcasts that are posted after the live broadcast at thetrumpet.com website, thetrumpet.com/live. And, of course, you can get the live stream every day in the central time zone here in the United States at 11 a.m., that's noon on the East Coast and 9 a.m. out West. And, of course, we're happy, too, to be broadcasting with a partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, disseminating this program and many others to 11 million households across the United States. Don't forget, too, we're coming into another weekend, and we've got the weekend edition of the Trumpet Daily. That plays on a radio station out west, Phoenix, Arizona, KFNX. You can get the live stream of that if you Google that. And, of course, you can also get to the program that we record for KFNX, right here at our website, thetrumpet.com. And keep in mind, if you're listening to the audio by CRN or some other way, you can, of course, get to the video only at our website, thetrumpet.com. Well, it's been a busy couple of days. We had the Celtic Throne crew down in Dallas, Texas, performing in a small theater there in Irving, Texas. 200 people came out for that show, a loud and raucous environment for that Wednesday night performance. If we have time, I suspect that we won't, but if we have time, we've got a little bit of feedback from some of the people who viewed the show down in Irving, Texas. A little two-minute montage, but the performers did great on Wednesday night, and they've got another one. I think we've already got about 500 people coming out for the show this Sunday, again in Edmond, just a week after the premiere show in Edmond. So Armstrong Auditorium will be excited Sunday afternoon. That's 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon, and we've got shows coming up, as I say, in Austin, Texas, next Wednesday, Amarillo, Texas, the Monday after that, and then it just continues on into Memphis, I believe, Birmingham, Alabama, Nashville, Tennessee, Little Rock, Arkansas. So go to Celtic Throne, CelticThrone.com, if you'd like to attend one of those performances and perhaps see some of us. I don't know if we'll make it to every show on the road, but we're certainly going to try to go to those that are a little bit closer for us to get to. On today's show, if we do offer any literature along the way, I have a feeling I'll mention the United States and Britain in prophecy a time or two. And if you're interested in requesting your free copy of any of our material, of course, our Trumpet magazine, we send that out each month. Tomorrow's News Today, as we always say, And if you want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, read the Trumpet magazine today. Just call our operators at the toll-free number if you live in the United States and Canada. That's 1-866-930-3024, 866-930-3024. And you can request any of our free material mentioned on today's program. Well, as I say, Anthony Fauci is being fully exposed as the liar and the fraud that he is. Really, a card-carrying communist. He, like Mike Pompeo yesterday, who said that, you know, when you hear Dr. Fauci speak, it's like listening to Xi Jinping in China. He's saying the same things as the Communist Party. And, of course, he's reaching out to his friends in the media, and even some of them, if you look at Joe Scarborough's show this morning, they're beginning to turn on Dr. Fauci. But he still has his fans, and he got a softball interview from Nicole Wallace yesterday. I don't know if she's on CNN or I think she's MSNBC. But listen to this this exchange between Wallace and Dr. Fauci, clip 9.
Do you still see some hardness among his supporters around the vaccine or around some of these messages you're sharing with us today?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that there are people out there who, for one reason or other, resent me for what I did in the last administration, which was not anything that was anti-Trump at all. It was just trying to get the right information, to try and get the right data. And what they didn't seem to understand, I guess that's understandable that they didn't understand it, is that science is a dynamic process. So something that you know in January, you make a recommendation or a comment about it. But as you get more and more information, the information leads you to change, because that's what science is. It's a self-correcting process. So when you hear someone say something at one point, and then 2 or 3 months later, if you stick with what you said at the original time when you had 1/5 the amount of data that you have now, I think that would be inappropriate. It's appropriate, although sometimes it's difficult for people to understand, how as you learn more and more, you've got to continue to evolve with the data.
So that's how he explains all of his flip-flops and his many lies over the past 18 months. He's just evolving. He's an evolutionist. That's what's happening. And of course, as far as Trump supporters, I mean, it's understandable that they didn't understand. They're idiots. We can understand why they wouldn't understand it at the time. Because they're just a bunch of ignorant rubes, that's all. All, and notice, all things Trump. It always goes back to Trump. The ratings on these news networks are plummeting because they don't have Donald Trump in office at the moment. So they try to keep bringing him back up. It's as if the Trump supporters who criticized him for his many lies and flip-flops, it's as if they are the problem. He's the problem. Certainly one of them, a big one at that. He is the problem. His people supported the lab, the gain-of-function science, as he would call it. Always evolving. Yeah, take those viruses, manipulate them, make them even more dangerous. And then it's unleashed on the public. Either it was leaked out or it was an actual attack used as a bioweapon. And more, at least judging by a clip I heard again from Fauci this morning, it makes you think it was an outright attack. Well, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But we'll come to that in just a bit. Look, when he was saying early on, even though all the emails, thousands and thousands of Fauci emails out there now being scrutinized, and the emails that he received from people in science telling him, yeah, I think it was man-made. I think it did come out from that Wuhan lab. And then he'd go out in front of you. He'd go before Congress. He would say under oath, of course not. Of course, it's not man-made at all. It came from the bats. It came from that Wuhan market. It's just totally natural the way that this happened. He lied. He lied, and the emails prove it. His own emails prove it. Listen to him as he explains his flip-flopping on wearing a mask. This is hilarious. Clip 10.
She apparently had asked you whether she should wear a mask on a trip, and you responded to her concluding, I do not recommend that you wear a mask, particularly since you are going to a very low-risk location. That was February 5th. Right. A lot has transpired right. since then. If you had to go back and do it all over again, would you tell her something different? Do you regret that?
Well, you know, John, let's get real here. If you look at scientific information as it accumulates, what is going on in January and February, what you know as a fact, as data, guides what you tell people and your policies. If March, April, May occur, you accumulate a lot more information and you modify and adjust your opinion and your recommendation based on the current science and current data.
So back in February, the science was the cloth masks, they don't help. And then a few months later, I guess the science told us they do help. And then a few months after that, the science told us that two masks would help. That's Dr. Fauci talking about why he's gone back and forth and back and forth. It's all the science. Does this make you feel good about science? Certainly not about their science. It's the kind that the Apostle Paul said, science falsely so-called. What a bunch of human reasoning. And look at the level of fraud and deceit. That's what this Vanity Fair article exposes. I mean, here's a left-wing publication. But where's the New York Times? Where's Washington Post? Good for the woman that's blowing the lid off of it, finally, in the propaganda media. But in the conservative media, not all of them, you go back to January and February, people like Steve Bannon and others were, I mean, there were whistleblowers coming forward associated with the Wuhan lab. All of them were ignored. Totally ignored. And so now Vanity Fair comes forward with the bombshell about 14, 15, 16 months too late. But it is nevertheless a bombshell when you just look at the level of detail. Should have been written in February of 2020, but, you know, we had the bad orange man in office. So we can't come out and really go after the CCP. We're in the middle of going after the orange man, and he's worse than the CCP. So they used it. Instead of going after the CCP, they used this virus, sprung on the world by the CCP. They used it as a pretext to introduce all of that mail-in balloting, all of the cheating that would happen in the 2020 election, get rid of Donald Trump. And of course, if you read between the lines in this Vanity Fair piece, Trump is, you know, he's the one that's politicized science. And certainly not Anthony Fauci. It's Donald Trump. It's just the opposite. It's people like Fauci, his colleague, Peter Daszak, we've played a clip from him before, saying, of course, this didn't come from the lab. They lied. They lied, and they knew they were lying. Tucker Carlson had a segment last night on the Vanity Fair piece and on Dr. Fauci. Here's just a brief montage of that, clip 14.
Fauci himself was implicated in the very pandemic he'd been charged with fighting. Fauci supported the grotesque and dangerous experiments that appeared to have made COVID possible. Fauci knew perfectly well that he had funded gain-of-function experiments at that very same laboratory. The emails prove that Fauci lied about this under oath. Attached to that email was a document. It was entitled, quote, Barrick, Shi et al., Nature Medicine, SARS gain-of-function.pdf. Now, keep in mind that during the questioning from Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky fairly recently, Tony Fauci denied that this same Ralph Barrick had conducted gain-of-function research. Again, This is the Ralph Baric in Fauci's attachment, which was entitled Baric, Xi et al., SARS gain of function, .pdf. The emails show that Tony Fauci speaks regularly to Bill Gates. That's odd. Bill Gates is not a doctor. Bill Gates is not a scientist. Bill Gates is a very rich man who made billions making mediocre software for office computers. So why would Tony Fauci be in such regular contact with Bill Gates? Has Bill Gates profited in any way from Tony Fauci's COVID guidance?
That's Tucker Carlson from last night. And, of course, he comes from the conservative side. But as I say, even many on the liberal wing, look at the Vanity Fair piece. They're blowing the lid off of all of this corruption, this evil, the lies, the deception, the fraud in Vanity Fair. It says throughout, it goes back and talks about how it was just covered up from the start. Throughout 2020, the notion that the novel coronavirus leaked from a lab was off limits. You could not go there. Even if you were a scientist, you could not go there. And it, quote, later on in the piece, it goes to the CDC director, Dr. Redfield, who said that when he suggested it came from the lab, he was attacked. There were threats made on his life. And we know all of this now because of Vanity Fair. Those who dared to push for transparency say toxic politics and hidden agendas kept us in the dark. Toxic politics and hidden agendas in the scientific community. Science. It's all about the science. It says on February 19, 2020, The Lancet, among the most respected and influential medical journals in the world, published a statement that roundly rejected the lab leak hypothesis, effectively casting it as a xenophobic cousin to climate change denialism and anti-vaxxism. So this is like we said last week. If you even went in this direction that it came from the Wuhan lab, you are a deranged conspiracy theorist. That was just a few months ago. So it says here, signed by 27 scientists, the statement expressed solidarity with all scientists and health professionals in China and asserted, we stand together to strongly condemn conspiracy theories suggesting that COVID-19 does not have a natural origin. So they had all these scientists sign on. They signed the document. They said that, and then Fauci was out as the spokesman for all of them, saying, look, what we're talking about here is of natural origin. Forget about the lab. Forget about the whistleblowers. Forget about the three individuals in the lab who came up sick at the end of 2019 with all those COVID-19 symptoms. The Lancet, this respected journal, in February of 2020, it comes out and says, look, you're a conspiracy theorist. I mean, you're like the climate change deniers if you believe this sort of thing. And then all the scientists signed on with it. And Vanity Fair says, The Lancet statement effectively ended the debate over COVID-19's origins before it began. Can you believe this? The scientists covered it up. The scientists. Fauci says it just evolves. That's why our statements keep changing. Because the facts that come in, it keeps evolving. They knew it came from the lab early on, and anyone really that was willing to dig into it at the time and listen to a whistleblower or two, they knew it as well. And they knew the CCP was lying. But the lies coming from the CCP, well, they were coming from Dr. Fauci and his friends as well. He was doing their bidding. So the Lancet piece comes out last February. And that just ended the debate about where it came from. Well, it came from the Wuhan market, of course. Somebody ate some bat soup, and that's how it started. And we were told this for a year, more than a year. And the people that spoke out were trashed and repeatedly trampled on. Their reputation, their credibility, for months and months and months, all these propagandists who went after Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo for saying that, no, it came from the lab. They said that back in April and May. I played that for you last week or earlier this week. The Vanity Fair piece, it says, since December 1, 2019, the COVID virus that causes COVID-19 has infected more than 170 million people around the world and killed more than 3.5 million. To this day, we don't know how or why this novel coronavirus suddenly appeared in the human population. Answering that question is more than an academic pursuit. Without knowing where it came from, we can't be sure we're taking the right steps to prevent a recurrence. So, you know, Herbert Armstrong used to talk about if it's flawed from the beginning, then the whole thing is off. The whole thing is flawed. And this is the story from the beginning. They didn't know where it came from. And they've been giving all of these guidelines. They've been giving all of this advice based upon a disease that they didn't even know where it started. They didn't know it was man-made. They thought it had a natural origin. It says, but for most of the past year, the lab leak scenario was treated not simply as unlikely or even inaccurate, but as morally out of bounds. In late March, former CDC director, well, there they go through Robert Redfield's statement, the fact that he suggested that it came from the lab, and then he had some death threats. He said, I expect this from politicians, but not from science. It's all about the science, says Fauci. And within the scientific community, Dr. Redfield was attacked for saying it came from the lab. Vanity Fair says, then came the revelation that the Lancet statement was not only signed but organized by a zoologist named Peter Daszak. Here comes Peter. He organized it. He said, who has repackaged U.S. government grants and allocated them to facilities conducting gain-of-function research among the lab itself. So he was responsible for funding the lab. It came from the lab, the disease. And then in February, this same man who funded the lab organized this effort to get all these doctors, these scientists, to sign on with the Lancet piece to tell you, to tell the propagandists in the media that it didn't come from the lab. It didn't come because of gain-of-function research, not at all. These are the scientists behaving as corrupt politicians because that's what they are. It says here, British-born Peter Daszak, 55, is the president of EcoHealth Alliance, a New York City-based nonprofit with the laudable goal of preventing the outbreak of emerging diseases by safeguarding ecosystems. It says in May 2014, 5 months before the moratorium on gain-of-function research was announced, EcoHealth secured an NIAID grant of roughly $3.7 million, which is allocated in part to various entities engaged in collecting bat samples, building models, and performing gain-of-function experiments to see which animal viruses were able to jump to humans. So even after Obama, and again, we wrote about this in The Trumpet just last year, I think August or September, even after the Obama administration put a stop to it, well, they just found a way around it and went right ahead with their gain-of-function research. It says here, the grant was not halted under the moratorium or the P3CO framework. It says further on, Daszak had not only signed but organized the influential Lancet statements with the intention of concealing his role and creating the impression of scientific unanimity. It's all about the science, right? Says Dr. Fauci. And here is a scientist organizing this cover-up, organizing the fraud, and many quite happy to sign on to it. In the New York Post, this was their take on the Vanity Fair piece. It says State Department staffers were warned against investigating the origin of COVID-19 because it would open a can of worms, a former official revealed in a bombshell report Thursday. So you had, for their part, you had the State Department, the deep state, the administrative state, doing its part to not even investigate it. And we know they're good at this kind of thing, right? Investigate Donald Trump, anything that he does and says. And meanwhile, Hunter's laptop with all the evidence on it of criminality, well, you just close the lid on it. Don't even look into it. Don't even go there. Well, it might open up a can of worms. After all, Hunter's dad is a sellout to the CCP. It says here, in its nearly 12,000-word report, Vanity Fair said that about a dozen State Department employees from four bureaus met on December 9 to discuss an upcoming trip to Wuhan, China, organized in part by the WHO. It says a small group of officials in the department's Arms Control Verification and Compliance Bureau had reportedly obtained classified intel suggesting that three scientists at the Wuhan Institute of Virology were sickened in the fall of 2019. So they got the intel. They got to the facts. The first people to come down with COVID-19, they worked in this lab. It says here, as the group discussed what they could publicly reveal, Christopher Park, listen to this, they're naming names in this Vanity Fair piece. Christopher Park, the director of the State Department's Biological Policy Staff in the Bureau of International Security and Nonproliferation, told them not to say anything that could point to the American government's own role in gain-of-function research, Vanity Fair said, citing documentation of the meeting. Now look, they said in the State Department, let's not get into investigating this, and we certainly don't want to reveal our own role in funding the gain of function research. I mean, this is astounding. It says here, a source familiar with what happened said some of those present were absolutely floored that a government official could make an argument that is so nakedly against transparency in light of the unfolding catastrophe. Keep in mind, this was the pandemic of the century, right? Millions of people died. Hundreds of millions came down with the virus. And so the story about where it started, I mean, that's like central to what's happening here for the past 18 months. But think about, for a moment, just think about the story of covering up the origins. The State Department did it. The propaganda media did it. The scientists did it. The people involved in the gain of function research, they did it. And the CCP did it. What does that tell you about the communist infiltration of the United States of America? Here, Donald Trump comes out in April of last year and says, I've seen the evidence. It came from the lab. And of course, he's attacked. Pompeo's attacked. You were attacked last year if you went there. You're a deranged lunatic. As I said, I forget the exact month. I think August of 2020. Where is the China-America clash leading? We took you through this article last week. Tomorrow's news today, I mean, that's why you need the Trumpet magazine. There's the article right there. I'm not sure if it says the date. I believe it's August. In any event, the Trumpet magazine, tomorrow's news, and this one, you talk about being appropriate for the time we're in right now, jab or else. Still, you have this intense pressure coming from the scientists who say you've got to get the jab. You've got to get the double jab. Never mind the side effects. Just go forward and do what we say. Well, what you say keeps changing. Well, that's because that's the science. It's correcting itself. Did you make a mistake? No. No, I have never made a mistake. That's really what Fauci is saying. I didn't make a mistake. I'm just adjusting my statements based upon additional facts that are coming in. Well, the emails, his own emails expose him as the liar that he is. The Fauci virus. Listen to John Berman. He's at CNN, and he's not actually in this clip, but he asks Fauci about, again, these origins and whether or not this could have been an attack from the CCP. This is clip 11.
The idea I think, is quite far-fetched, that the Chinese deliberately engineered something so that they could kill themselves as well as other people. I think that's a bit far out, John.
That's, as I said earlier, that's the clip that makes me think it absolutely was an attack. If Fauci comes out and says it wasn't, okay, he's finally coming around to admitting it may have leaked from the lab. But he says it couldn't have been an attack because China wouldn't kill its own people. This is a man who's in his 70s. And he's saying this about the CCP, this brutal dictatorship. They don't bat an eye at persecuting their own people. They squashed Hong Kong just last year. What little freedoms remained in Hong Kong. And you hear the stories of all the human rights abuses and the people that would challenge the CCP, the government in China, in Beijing, that just go missing. President Xi himself sees himself as the successor of Mao, who is responsible for killing tens of millions of, yes, his own people. Now, if the CCP today, if they see a U.S. economy booming like never before, and Donald Trump well on his way to a landslide victory on November 3rd, and he's running against an opponent who's probably in the early stages of dementia, is Tony Fauci actually saying that there is no way that the CCP would unleash this virus, killing even its own people, if it could also destroy the U.S. economy and prevent Donald Trump from being reelected? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. It's like he's a card-carrying communist, because if President Xi says it, Fauci echoes it almost word for word. Last year, the CCP said, no, absolutely not. It did not come from the Wuhan lab. And so that's what Fauci says. Now everyone knows it came from the Wuhan lab. So what does the CCP say now? Well, okay, it leaked out, but absolutely not. This was not bioterrorism. This was not an attack. And so that's what Fauci says. Listen to him yesterday with MSNBC's Willie Geist. This is clip 13.
Why is this so hard? Why is it so hard to find the source of this outbreak that's killed more than 3 million people around the world? 600,000 people here in the United States has upended our lives and our economy. Is it because China is so opaque? Is it because WHO is not sharing information? Why is this so difficult?
I mean, it's obviously in China's interest to find out exactly what it is. I mean, obviously you want openness and cooperation. One of the ways you can get it is don't be accusatory.
Right, just capitulate. Don't accuse China, befriend them. The communists in China, they're our friends, and we have to reach out to them. Of course, it's in their interest to find out the origins of this disease. And so we want to work together with the CCP. And that's what I've been doing. He was doing it with gain of function. He's, like I said last week, why in the world would the United States even fund anything going on in China? China's got plenty of money. And they're getting more of it. They unleash it on the world. And then all of the personal protective equipment, where do you have to go to get that? In China. China, you've got to go to China to get the billions of face masks that were spread all over the earth. You've got to go to China to get some of the equipment that they used in hospitals, the respirators and such. And what economy has benefited from COVID-19, add that to the list. China's looking at Wuhan. There's millions of people around Wuhan, and there's quite a lot of people in China, in case you didn't know. So China's looking at Wuhan, saying, and this is our lab. This is where we develop some of these bioweapons. If we unleash it and we start it in Wuhan and we lose maybe a million of our own and then it spreads around the world and it destroys the U.S. economy, it prevents Donald Trump from getting reelected, and it helps our economy. Well, I guess we better not do that because we might kill some of our own people. This is a brutal dictatorship. And Anthony Fauci has been doing its bidding, and he still does. He still does. How do we get to the bottom of this? Well, you start by not accusing China. You don't want to do anything that would come across as accusatory. Well, the mere fact that it sprung on the world from the CCP's virus laboratory in Wuhan is in itself an accusation. I mean, it's the truth. It's what happened. But he doesn't even want to go there. He can't. He can't because he's an American-style communist. And when they start sounding exactly like President Xi, then you know everything Herbert Armstrong said back in the 1950s and 60s about communist infiltration. You know that prophecy has been fulfilled. We read in Peter's epistle, 2 Peter 1, that God gives us the sure word of prophecy, Bible prophecy. Where would we be without it? Where would we be without God's truth? I'll just give you a few verses here before we conclude this segment, because there's going to be, as Peter also said, scoffers that come along saying, oh, of course, don't put your trust in God and prophecy, Bible prophecy, to do that. I mean, you're crazy. Just like they said last year, if you were wanting to get to the bottom of the virus and where it came from, how it started, you get into the truth, and immediately you're portrayed as a conspiracy theorist, a deranged one at that. With respect to prophecy, Peter said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, it says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of evil. There's a little bit of messiness in the world. But look, this has been going on since the beginning. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. All that we're saying, all that we're seeing, all that we comment on this program is proof positive that we're living in the very last days. Paul said in the last days, dangerous times shall come. We're there. We're there. I mean, how is this doctor, the top doctor of the United States, how is he not in solitary confinement like some of those people that trespassed on January 6th? Well, it's because we're living in an evil world. Galatians 1 and verse 4. There is an evil being presiding over the affairs of this earth. That's Satan the devil. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Read Revelation 12 and verse 9. Read Ephesians 2 and verse 2. The prince of the power of the air. We could go into that quite a lot more. Request our booklet, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, if you'd like to delve into a much broader study of what is happening in the United States of America, and Britain too, for its part. Just call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. That's toll free if you're in the United States or Canada. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to contact the program or submit some feedback, whether you're an old-time listener, we've been on the air for over 6 years now, or if you're one of our many newer listeners, you can write the program, td@thetrumpet.com. Send us an email. Give us your feedback. Let us know your listening habits, where you come from, how you view the show, when you view the show, or listen to the show. Just let us know in an email. That's TD, like Trumpet Daily, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
There are now papers written by prominent scientists calling for a worldwide halt in the program. There are prominent virologists, many of them, including Nobel Prize winners, who have said, listen, if we vaccinate people and we create a very narrow, incomplete library of immunity, which is what the vaccine is, the vaccines are all targeted to the original Wuhan spike protein, which is long gone. That's extinct. Patients are getting vaccinated to something that doesn't even exist anymore. That Wuhan spike protein is gone. We're hoping the immunity covers the other variants, but that narrow immunity is a setup. It's just like giving everybody a narrow spectrum antibiotic. If you did that, what would happen? We'd grow up superbugs. There are warnings out there saying, don't do this. Don't vaccinate the entire world. All we're going to do is set ourselves up for a superbug that's going to really wipe out populations. So for many reasons, the vaccine, indiscriminate vaccination, is a horrendous idea. It's a horrendous bioweapon that's been thrust onto the public, and it's going to cause great personal harm, which it already has. Thousands of people have lost their lives. I've never lost a direct patient, but I've had my patients lose their family members, lots of them.
That's Dr. Peter McCullough. He is an internist, cardiologist, epidemiologist, a professor of medicine at the Texas A&M College of Medicine. And there he is, warning against the mass vaccination program that's now going on around the world. He's there discussing the horrendous impact that this is and will have. He's a scientist. I guess if you're Dr. Fauci, I guess he doesn't count. He's sounding the alarm. He's saying, look, we're seeing thousands of deaths as a result of this. We've got to stop it. We've got to stop this. I've had these clips for several days now. I just haven't had time to get into them. But listen to this doctor from Texas sound the alarm and explain what's happening as a result of this vaccine. You don't hear this on MSNBC or CNN. The New York Times doesn't write about it. The New York Times isn't really even exposing the Wuhan lab leak or attack like it should. Here's Dr. McCullough again, clip two.
There are over 4,000 dead Americans. There's over 10,000 dead people in Europe that die on days 1, 2, and 3 after the vaccine. Why are we pushing this in a way where people's jobs and their education and their livelihood decide on a decision that's potentially fatal? The internet is full of these cases. Blood clots, strokes, immediate death.
Strokes, blood clots. You have the thing with children where the heart or a muscle near the heart enlarges. And even death. Even death. This is from an investigation at Revolver. It's talking about the vaccine adverse event reporting system. This is from the CDC itself. VAERS. Tucker Carlson had a segment on this a few weeks ago. It says in just 5.5 months, the VAERS system has already processed more reports of Americans dying after taking COVID-19 vaccine than it has for all the other 56 available vaccines combined over a 28-year time span. More deaths than every other vaccine over the last, I guess, three decades or so. That's astounding. And so this doctor, Peter McCullough, he says, look, if it were any other scenario, if it were any other vaccine, and you get 50, 100, 150 deaths, well, they come out right away and put a stop to it. Do not put this in any other human beings. Don't do it. We've got reports of deaths over here. How many? Hundreds. Hundreds. Stop it. COVID-19, it's thousands. 5,000 in the United States, 10,000 around Europe. And yet they continue. And they keep going younger, if you can believe it. Jab the 19-year-olds. Soon we'll jab the 12-year-olds. Soon we can jab the babies. Listen to Dr. McCullough yet again, clip 3.
There are now papers written by prominent scientists calling for a worldwide halt in the program. There are prominent virologists, many of them, including Nobel Prize winners, who have said, listen, if we vaccinate people and we create a very narrow, incomplete library of immunity, which is what the vaccine is, the vaccines are all targeted to the original Wuhan spike protein, which is long gone. That's extinct. Patients are getting vaccinated to something that doesn't even exist anymore. That Wuhan spike protein is gone. We're hoping the immunity covers the other variants. But that narrow immunity is a setup. It's just like giving everybody a narrow spectrum antibiotic. If you did that, what would happen? We grow up superbugs. There are warnings out there saying, don't do this. Don't vaccinate the entire world. All we're going to do is set ourselves up for a superbug that's going to really wipe out populations. So for many reasons, the vaccine, indiscriminate vaccination, is a horrendous idea. It's a horrendous bioweapon that's been thrust onto the public. And it's going to cause great personal harm, which it already has. Thousands of people have lost their lives. I've never lost a direct patient, but I've had my patients lose their family members, lots of them.
Okay, I guess that was the same clip we played earlier. Let me just take you to the Times of Israel. This is a story from just a couple days ago. It says, Israel's health ministry reported Tuesday that there is a probable link between the second dose shot of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine and dozens of cases of myocarditis. So we talked about this briefly the other day. It's an inflammation of the heart muscle in males under 30. So it affects young people in particular, this inflammation of the heart muscle. Listen to this. It says, according to the ministry, they found that from December 2020 to May of 2021, there were 275 cases of myocarditis reported across the country. 148 of these were in close proximity to when the patient received a vaccine dose. So keep in mind, Israel's a little country of just 8 million people. And they've had five million people get vaccinated. So that's a large segment of the population in Israel. And then they've had this spike of myocarditis among young people in particular, 148 cases in the last few months coming after people have gotten the vaccine. It says 27 cases, including 11 people with pre-existing conditions, were reported shortly after the first dose, out of 5.4 million who received a shot. It says, however, that increased to 121 cases, including 60 people with pre-existing conditions, out of 5 million within 30 days of the second shot. The ministry said the vast majority of those affected were men under 30, particularly those between the ages of 16 and 19. Most cases were mild, with patients released from the hospital after 4 days, as is usual with myocarditis. And then it just says, almost casually, one death was reported. Now, remember last year, all the lockdowns, we were told, if it saves one person, it's worth it. It doesn't give the age, but one death reported, and let's presume, since it's particularly prevalent among young people under 30, young men in particular, let's presume that this is a young man. Okay, the chances of survival for COVID-19, this is according to the CDC, the CDC website, if you're between the ages of 1 and 19 and you get COVID-19, leave aside the vaccine for a moment. If you get COVID-19, there's a 99.998% chance that you will survive. In other words, it's no threat to young people. In Israel, little Israel, in the last 5 months, you've had, and this is the of the ones reported, you've had at least one young person die. 5 million vaccinations. How many in the United States? Tens of millions, I think over 100 million. How many in Europe? Just extrapolate it on out. I'm no scientist, but this is disturbing. And then when the article says, you know, Israeli officials, the scientists, I presume, they're looking at this saying, okay, maybe we should consider whether or not we want to push this onto even younger and younger people. It says the findings, let me back up. It says the report found that the link between the vaccine and myocarditis dwindled as the age increased. So it's especially young. COVID-19, we locked down the world to try to make it safer for elderly people, primarily, elderly people with comorbidities. We locked everything down. And here you have a case of a young person, their whole life in front of them, didn't die of COVID, they get the double jab, and they're dead. It's infuriating when you see what we're doing to ourselves. Killing ourselves, killing our own, in the name of science. In the name of science. The findings are significant, with Israel set to decide on expanding the vaccine drive to include people aged 12 to 15 in the coming days. We got to get the 12-year-olds. Says some health experts have suggested only giving younger people one shot to avoid the second dose side effects. They know there's side effects. Everyone knows. And yet, the lotteries continue. The free donuts, the free beer, the free burgers. Remember de Blasio, who can forget? I've been trying to forget. Eating the burger and fries on live TV. All in the hope that you and your children, don't forget about the little ones. We got to get them vaccinated as well. Listen to Dr. Fauci on CNN just this week, clip 12.
If you're a parent of a 12-year-old or somewhere 12 or younger right now, how hopeful should you be that they will get a vaccine dose before, say, Thanksgiving?
You know, I'm cautiously optimistic about that, John, because we are now doing studies that are ongoing as we're speaking, studies that are looking at what we call age de-escalation, children from 12 to 9 and then 9 to 6 and then 6 to 2 and then 6 months to 2 years. We hope that as we approach the end of this calendar year, we'll have enough information to vaccinate children of any age.
Got to get all of them. Any and every age. Doesn't matter what's in the Times of Israel. There's another one here from LifeSite. New research shows that the coronavirus spike protein from COVID-19 vaccination unexpectedly enters the bloodstream, which is a plausible explanation for thousands of reported side effects from blood clots and heart disease to brain damage and reproductive issues, a Canadian cancer vaccine researcher said last week. So the reports are coming in. If Fauci and his friends would care to listen, but they're not listening. And if history is our guide, they're actively at work covering it up. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Don't forget the 800 number to request U.S. and Britain in Prophecy or to subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine, 1-866-930-3024. You can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show. We thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.